Well, I don't know what your desire is for your life in 2012. Maybe it's to live well. Maybe it's to live the best possible life that I can in 2012. Maybe there's some things that you feel like need changing. I don't want this in my life anymore. I want to change this. I want to change this in 2012. I want a new start. But all of that is living well, focused on living well. Lord, I want to live well in 2012. Maybe that's your desire so far this year. But there is a difference in living or living well and walking with God in 2012. There's a difference in living and walking with God. And so the question is, do you want to live or walk with God in 2012? Let's look at it. Turn to Genesis chapter 5. And let's see the difference here. Genesis chapter 5. If you're new at this, just open the cover of your Bible and flip a couple of pages. First book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 5. If you're reading the Bible through in a year, you're probably reading in Genesis right now. I think that's how the Lord laid this on my heart. Genesis chapter 5. Let's look at verses 21 through 24. God tells us this in His Word. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. We see here somebody walking with God. And you see, if you read the surrounding passages, if you back up quite a few verses there, and if you begin reading chapter 5, you'll run into 9 other examples of people. And it's just this line of descendants. But each one of these 9 others, Enoch is one of 10 that is unique. He's different because he walked with God. You see, the other 9 surrounding Enoch's example here in Genesis 5, they all just lived. They lived and they died. But one out of the 10, Enoch walked with God. And then he was no more. He didn't even experience death. He walked with the Lord and God just took him to be with him one day. And so there's this great difference here in living and walking with God. Well, so what does it mean to walk with God, and how do we do it? Well, I want you to put yourself there in Enoch's shoes. I want you to see yourself as an Enoch right now. You see, every other example, let's look at the next one after Enoch. They're all the same. They all read the same way. Verse 25, when Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. And after he became the father of Lamech, Methuselah lived. You see the word lived? He lived 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Methuselah lived 969 years and then he died. Every other one of them reads like that. He lived this long and then he had these sons and daughters and then he died. But Enoch, it says that he lived this long and then he walked with God for 300 years. He had other sons and daughters. What are you doing? Are you living? Are you walking with God? Well, what does that mean? What does it mean? Let's look at it. Well, first of all, if you would rather walk with God than live, In 2012, you must do a few things. We learn from Enoch that, first of all, you must know Him. You must know God. You must have a relationship with God if you want to walk with Him. So put yourself in Enoch's shoes and see yourself following the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. He is God who came down from heaven, God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. See yourself walking with Jesus in 2012. Well, if you're going to do that, the first thing you've got to do is know Him. You've got to know Him. You have to have a relationship. You see, you can walk with somebody. You can live alone, but you can't walk with somebody alone. See, there's the relationship aspect. There's this relationship element here with walking with somebody. You've done this before. You've experienced a walk with somebody and how you can just build a relationship, how well you can get to know somebody just by walking with them, going on a walk with them, regularly walking with them. Every now and then, our family will have a walk at night. Maybe grab Jenny, our dog, and we'll all go out and walk. And it's a wonderful time because we're all relating together. We're all talking together. Just focused on each other. On that walk, and we can get to know each other better. We just recently did it right after Christmas. We went and spent a little time with some of Allison's family in around Atlanta, and we went to Kennesaw Mountain, and we just walked together. My family, and then Allison's brother Stephen, and his wife Madele, and Bryson Calder, their children, and all of us just walked up this mountain. We hiked up it, Kennesaw Mountain, where all that Civil War history is. But we just walked up there together. And it was awesome. You know what? We just all got to know each other better. Sometimes I'd walk with Stephen, my brother-in-law. We'd just talk together. Sometimes I'd walk with one of the children. And you just get to know somebody, don't you? As you walk with them. Well, to walk with God, we must know Him. And in Matthew chapter 7... listen to these sobering words of Jesus. But it makes us realize it's all about a relationship and knowing Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Wow. So we see here by Jesus' testimony that any of us here today, we could be guilty of calling Jesus Lord and saying, "Lord, Lord, He's my Lord," and serving Him through the church and doing all these wonderful ministries, doing tons of things in the name of the Lord and giving and being a church member and being baptized from the time I was really little and serving the Lord. And would you believe Jesus is saying, "I could do all that, and in that last day I could stand before the Lord Jesus and say, 'Look at what all I've done for you. I've done all these things. I've done all this stuff in your name, Jesus.' And then He could look at me and say, 'Depart from me. I never knew you.'" Wow. What does that mean? It means we've got to know Jesus. It means the Christian life is all about a relationship. It's not knowing about Jesus, it's knowing Him personally. And so to walk with Him, first of all, we've got to know Him. So the question for you this morning, my friend, my brother, my sister, is, do you know God? Do you know Jesus in a real and personal way? Not do you know about Him, and where you could tell anybody here everything there is to know about Jesus. That's not what I'm asking here. That's not what Jesus is asking. Not how much do you know about Him? Do you know Him personally? Not, yeah, I go to church. I'm very religious. I do a lot of religious things. No, not religion, but relationship. Do you know him? I used to work for Central Alabama Home Health when it was around, and I used to deliver medical supplies all over Central Alabama. And I would go to Troy every week on Friday, and I had a Mormon friend, this girl in Troy. And, of course, I got to know these people real well. We'd work together every Friday, and it always struck me. We would talk about our faith, and she would talk, I'd talk about, you know, my relationship with Jesus and getting up early in the morning just to be with Him, to spend time with Him. And the way she would put it is, she would get up early too to study the Word in her Book of Mormon and Doctrine and Covenants, and she would study, and she would always refer to it in those terms. And I never really sensed a relationship, knowing a God, knowing God. What about you? How are you with your time with the Lord? Do you call it time with the Lord, or do you wake up early in the morning and study the Bible? And is it a burden to you? Is it a task? Is it something that you check off a list? Well, I've done this religious thing and this. Now I'm in church. Check that. Are you religious, or do you have a relationship? Is it a task to get up early and read the Bible, or is it a joy? You know, one of my favorite things to do in the world, if not the favorite, is to get up early and to go and just get alone with the Lord, just spend time with the Lord. I love it. I love spending time with Him because I love Him. It's a joy. How about you? Do you have that relationship? Do you know Him? Because let me tell you, right now, if you're sitting there in your seat and you're going, I don't know, maybe I just know a lot about Him, I don't think I know Him, that's a dangerous spot to be. You don't have to stay there. That's a dangerous spot to be. You know, because if you don't know Him yet, if you haven't repented of your sins and put your faith in Jesus and given your life to Him, asked Him to save you, then He's come in and He's with you. And you'll have that relationship with Him. And if you don't, do you know that you're His enemy? Do you know that Ephesians tells us that we're God's enemies until we repent and we come to Him? And it's a real simple thing to do. I've got a little booklet you can take home with you. Come see me after the worship service, or anybody. A lot of people know about these little booklets, that little ABC booklet. It's real simple to have that relationship with Him. So make sure you walk down that aisle if you don't have that yet, if you don't know Him. Well, next, we also need to stay with Him. When you're walking with somebody, you not only know them if you're walking with God, but you stay with them. If you walk with somebody, you're going together in the same direction. And you stay together. You stay with that person that you're walking with. There's a togetherness going in the same direction. That's what it is to walk with God. You stay with Jesus. You stay together with Him. It's not like this. It's not, I'm going over here for a while. We'll meet back up a little bit later, Jesus. I know, I don't think this is your will, but I'm going to head over here. I'm going to do this. I'll see you in a little bit down the road. That's not walking with Jesus. It's not saying, I want to go this way. I don't want to take that path. Lord, I think You want me going down there, but I don't like that. I don't want to go there. I'd rather go this way. No, it's not that. It's staying together. You see, the disciples walked with Jesus. They stayed with Him. They walked with Him. It's not, I'm going my own way. No, to walk with God, to walk with Jesus is to follow Him. It's to hear Him call you. It's to hear Him say to you, follow Me. And then you stay with Him. And you come with Him. That's what John 15 is all about, is staying with Jesus. He said, I'm the true vine, and you're a branch. And if a man, I tell you that, He said, if a man remains in Me, I'm the vine, you're a branch. If you remain in Me, I will remain, and I remain in you. You will bear much fruit. But apart from Me, you can do nothing. And He talks about a branch that's disconnected, those branches are picked up and thrown into the fire. You stay connected. Stay connected. Remain in Jesus. Stay with Him and go in the same direction. And that's what it is to walk with Him. And as Christians, we often get off the path. We may step aside. We may go the wrong way for a little while. But you know what? As soon as He brings it to our attention, we need to do 1 John 1:9. And then the moment He brings it to our attention as a Christian, that verse says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So the moment He brings it to our attention that you're not going my way anymore, you veered off the path, all I have to, the word confess means agree with God. All I have to do is say, oh, God, you're right. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Whatever. I shouldn't have failed to do that. I'm sorry, Lord. Bam! You're forgiven, you're cleansed, and you're purified from all unrighteousness. That quick. So 1 John 1:9 makes us stay with Him. So to walk with God, rather than to live in 2012, you must know Him. You must stay with Him. And next, you must go with Him. You must go with Him. You see, the question is, who's walking with who? Did you notice here? Enoch walked with God. God was the one leading. God's the one walking. Enoch walked with God. Well, how is it in your life? Who's walking with who? You walk with Him. Jesus said, follow me. He leads you. Join and you walk with Him just like Enoch did. God was going somewhere. Enoch just joined Him. Wherever God went for 300 years, Enoch just joined Him. That's what it is to walk with God. You go with Him. You see, if you follow somebody, Jesus would say, if you follow me, you go my way. And if you follow someone, if you follow, then that means you obey, doesn't it? When you follow someone, you obey. Just think about. I used to play a lot of baseball when I was growing up, played all my life. I played baseball for Trinity, and we had a coach, great coach, Coach Whittle. He's still there. And he was my ball coach, and I was a pitcher. And just think, he was my coach. I was following him, you see. He was my leader. And you see, what if Coach Whittle said to me, as it seems like I would get to pitch more in the end, what if Coach Whittle said to me, Derek, I want you to pitch the last couple of innings in this game. And I said, no, I want to start. I want to start. Well, it wouldn't go over too well. I'd be running some laps. It'd be pretty bad. It'd be an ugly picture. Because you follow your coach. You obey. You go the way your coach is going. And that's how it is with Jesus. If you follow, you obey. And that's why Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. It's how you show your love to Him. You love Him, and so you say, Lord, I want to do whatever you tell me to do. I just want to obey you. I love you. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. And so how are you doing in that area? Are you going with Him? Are you joining Him wherever He is and just following Him, obeying Him, walking with Him? Are you being like that bad baseball illustration? I don't want to go that way. No, I'm not going to do that. Well, finally, if you would rather walk with God than live in 2012, you must not only know Him, stay with Him, go with Him, but finally, you must grow in Him. You must grow in Him. In Romans 8, verse 29, God tells us this. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. You see the work that God is doing in your life. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, God is forming you into the image of Jesus. That's His work. It's called sanctification. He's working on you. He's making you more and more like Jesus all of your life until you die. And one day you'll be like Him after death. But He's working on you in the meantime. You should be looking more and more like Jesus as you participate, as you surrender, as you love Him and you obey. You begin to look more and more like Him. And so as you walk with Him in 2012, we'll begin to look more and more like Jesus. Well, what was Jesus like? It's all summed up in the mission of Highland Avenue Baptist Church. In the Great Commandment, Jesus said, If you love me, you will obey my commands. So if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to obey His commands. Well, He said, somebody asked Him one time, well, what's the greatest command we could obey? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second, He added another one. He said, the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so that's what Jesus is all about. Love God with all that you are. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's Matthew 22. And then right before He ascended to heaven, He told us what to do. Love God with all you are. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then here's what to spend your time doing. Right before He ascended to heaven, He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you always. And so what does He say? He said, love me with all that you are. Love your neighbor as yourself and make disciples. Spend your time making disciples. Well, and that's what Jesus did, is it not? That's what Jesus did. He said, I came to seek and to save what was lost. So if we're looking more and more like Jesus, if we're growing in Him and we begin to look more and more like Him, what will our lives look like? Well, we'll spend more time with Him. The Bible says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We see Jesus waking up very early in the morning while it's still dark and went to a solitary place where He prayed. We see the power of Jesus' ministry. It was all about prayer. He would get alone with the Father. He'd spend that time with the Father. Well, if you're going to walk with God, you begin to look more and more like Jesus. So I guess in 2012, we're going to find you a lot more alone with the Father. Spending time with Him. And then, to look like Jesus, we need to give, don't we? What did Jesus give? He gave all that He was. He gave His life. He spilled His blood. He gave His whole life as a sacrifice so you could be with Him forever. And what would He do if He was here today, if He was a member at Highland Avenue Baptist? Do you think He would give His tithe? Do you think He would give to the Lord? Oh, yeah. Matthew, in the last chapter of Matthew, what does God tell us? It says that actually the first tenth of all of our income, whatever we get, is God's. It's His. And that if we somehow, like, don't give it to Him, maybe hold it back, keep some of it for myself, then we actually rob God. It's not ours. It's His. And so, I believe Jesus would give if He was here today. What about you in 2012? Are you giving? Not only your resources, that's just your financial resources. What about your time? Jesus would give His time. What about your talents? Jesus would He would want each of us here to use all the gifts and the talents that God has given you, the way He's wired you. What? For serving Him, for His kingdom, for His glory, in that great commission to make disciples. And so to look more like Him, as we look more like Him in 2012, we'll give our time, we'll give our talents, we'll give our resources, we'll give our service. And we'll spend that time alone with Him, and we'll operate on the great commandments and the great commission. And we'll be looking more and more like Jesus. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for Your love for us, and thank You for all that You're doing in our lives. And Lord, if there's anybody here this morning, Lord, that feels like they don't know You, Lord, maybe You have spoken to their hearts and they have realized that they just know a lot about You. They're very religious. But Lord, they want to come to know You. Jesus, help them right now. Help them to simply admit that they are a sinner, Lord. And to believe that You died, You paid for all their sins, that You're raised from the dead. And help them to call on You right now and just say, Jesus, save me. come into my life. I want to know you, Jesus. I give my life to you. I want to follow you all the rest of my days and know you personally. Lord, help each of us, Lord, to do what you've said here in your word, here through this message. Lord, to walk with you and not just live in 2012. Help us to walk with you, Lord, knowing you, staying with you, going with you and growing in you. And Lord, if there's some other decision, if somebody needs to join this church, may they follow you out of their seat and walk down this aisle. If there's some other decision someone needs to make, help them to follow you. Walk down the aisle and announce it, Lord, to the congregation. And Lord, we pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Chris is going to lead us in a closing song right now. And if there's a decision you need to make, you do that. You come. I'll be waiting at the front for you. If you just need to pray at your seat, you do that. If you need to come to the altar and pray, do that. But do whatever he tells you. God bless you.
Let's sing, Take My Life.